specific word or phrase in the Lord's Prayer. I think we're going to see it just embraces an awful lot. So it's very simple, it's very concise, but it's extremely broad. And I think we'll see that. And that's what the main thing I want to focus on as we go through here is what the larger catechism focuses on. So page 559, we've got two or three questions at the beginning here that are very general, but at the same time extremely important. The first one there, larger catechism, question 186, what rule hath God given for our direction in the duty of prayer? Now, I would just suggest to you or ask, when you hear what rule, does another catechism question come to mind? Way back at the beginning. Shorter catechism, what rule hath God given to direct us how we may glorify and enjoy Him? And the answer is the Word of God, which is contained in the scriptures of the Old and New Testaments, is the only rule to direct us how we may glorify and enjoy Him. So our praying must be based on God's Word, because it's the only rule to direct us how we are to pray, if I can narrow it down and just put it that way for the moment. All right? What rule? The larger catechism talks about the Word of God being the only rule of, anybody know what that one is?
Faith and practice.
Faith and practice. So again, the only rule for what we are to believe and how we live it out. The only rule. And then duty. Again, you've got the catechism questions. If I can remember it now. Second one is my mind has gone blank for the moment. But it's shorter catechism question 3 and larger catechism question 5. So you can look them up. That deals with duty. So we've got rule and duty. Now the answer that the catechism gives us, the whole Word of God, is of use to direct us in the duty of prayer. The duty of prayer. Again, praying is not an option. Praying's a duty. But the special rule of direction is that form of prayer which our Savior Christ taught His disciples, commonly called the Lord's Prayer. And then you've got your three scripture references there. The first one dealing in general with the Word. And this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask, we pray anything according to His will. And when we pray according to His will, we are praying according to God's Word. He will hear us. And then you've got the passages that deal with Christ instructing the disciples and giving the Lord's Prayer in Matthew and Luke. So the rule that we've got is Scripture in general, the Lord's Prayer, which is part of Scripture, right? It's not something extra. Obviously, it's part of Scripture as well, but that to give us some specific direction. And again, obviously, it goes without saying, but when we consider the Lord's Prayer, we're obviously considering what Christ gave in response to the specific request, Lord, teach us to pray. Right? So this is the second person of the Godhead, the God-man on earth at the time, right, teaching His disciples how to pray. So obviously everything in it. We need to take heed. We need to consider very carefully. We need to consider very carefully. Second question, 187 on page 560. How is the Lord's Prayer to be used? The Lord's Prayer is not only for direction as a pattern. So there's the first way it's to be used as a pattern, according to which we are to make other prayers, but may also be used as a prayer. There's the second way, as a pattern first, as a prayer as well. So that, I would kind of change that wording to say, as long as it be done with understanding, faith, reverence, and other graces necessary to the right performance of the duty of prayer. And just as a reminder, on page 548, we had the question, question 185, how are we to pray? We are to pray with an awful apprehension of the majesty of God and deep sense of our own unworthiness, necessities, and sins. So keep this in mind now. If you're using the Lord's Prayer as your prayer, you need to be making sure that as you use it, it's in this manner. With an awful apprehension of the majesty of God and deep sense of our own unworthiness, necessities, and sins, with penitent, thankful, and enlarged hearts, with understanding, faith, sincerity, fervency, love, and perseverance, waiting upon him with humble submission to his will. Right? So, and this is, I mean, I don't know about you, but for me, there's nothing obviously magical, if I can use that word, to the Lord's Prayer. That doesn't gain you some entrance into God's presence just by virtue of you saying the words. Just because you are repeating what Christ said, this is how you are to pray, this is what you are to pray, no special favor. In fact, if we aren't careful, we can say it from memory, somewhat automatically, and be sinning. Because if we are not praying it aright, we're taking God's name in vain. So, and it's so easy. I mean, a lot of us, especially if you go to school, BJ, and you say it every day, virtually, it gets to be so easy to just rattle it off. And boom. I've done that. Move to the next thing. Bob? Well, if you pray, I'm not going to say you can't pray it on a regular basis. It's certainly a good, as we'll see. If you pray it on a regular basis meaningfully, you will have covered an awful lot. And as long as you understand what you're saying. And that's why, as we go through it, I hope that it'll be beneficial, because if we understand what all those words mean, you can almost stop and expand on each part of it. And you'll see. I mean, we pray, and you hear, and you pray, I pray. You've heard people pray. And we use the entirety of Scripture. You'll hear people quoting from the law, from Moses, the first five books, from the historical books, from the Psalms, obviously, the prophets, major, minor, all right, Gospels, the epistles. People use from the entirety of Scripture, which is, again, in keeping with what we just considered. All of God's Word can be used and should be used to direct us in our praying. The Lord's Prayer, I think we'll see, does the exact same thing as we consider what's here. So again, you just be careful. Just be careful when you are praying it, that you engage your heart with your mind. You're going to engage your mind to pray it, but engage your heart and give thought to it. Give thought to it, just as our catechism directs us. How is it to be used as a pattern and as a prayer itself? So we've considered how to pray properly. That is the instruction from God's word. We need direction. Now, you didn't pray before you were saved. If you did, you were using God's name in vain until you prayed for salvation. But you most likely were saying and doing things that you really had no thought about God and petitioning God, praying to God. Just something came out, which happens a lot these days. But at the same time, we need to be real careful with our praying. So we've got our proper, how to pray properly, how do we use the Lord's Prayer. Then question 188, the parts, how they've divided up the Lord's Prayer. And you can see there the answer. The Lord's Prayer consists of three parts: a preface, petitions, and a conclusion. That was question 188 on page 560. So now we get to the prayer itself. With question 189, what doth the preface of the Lord's Prayer teach us? The preface of the Lord's Prayer, contained in these words, "Our Father, which art in heaven," teacheth us, when we pray, to draw near to God with confidence of his fatherly goodness and our interest therein, with reverence and all other childlike dispositions, heavenly affections, and due apprehensions of his sovereign power, majesty, and gracious condescension, as also to pray with and for others. So, at the very outset, we begin with our Father. Obviously, there's an awful lot there just to stop and be thankful for. The word "our" obviously anticipates or understands that there is a plurality, right? There's more than one. I would suggest to you that the only one person that could come to God and say, "My Father is the Lord Jesus Christ." We've already found out when we pray in our considerations earlier, we're to pray in the Lord's name. We come robed in Christ's righteousness. We come in and through Christ. We come with the help of the Holy Spirit. So when you say "our," I would suggest to you that in and of itself brings to your mind, or hopefully at times will bring to your mind, consideration of the covenant. He's your Father. He's our Father because of the covenant between the Father and the Son. I will make you my people. I will give you a people. You fulfill the requirements. You live that perfect life. You die that atoning death. And these are your people. We come joined in union with Christ because of the covenant. We come joined with each other, because we together make up the body. All right? Again, part of that covenantal scheme that we are part of. So we come realizing the relationship, the fact that there's more than just us. We need to be mindful of that we dare not approach God apart from Christ. And we've already considered that, and you can go back in the few questions earlier when we were dealing with prayer generally. And again, it's interesting as we consider the Lord's Prayer how it relates to what we've already talked about, and I won't go back and review all of that. You can see that from, you can go back and look at the questions that we dealt with earlier as part of this chapter on religious worship. So our, and then Father. Father, first thing, how is it that God is your Father? Now, some would say, well, God's the Father of everyone. Is that true? Malachi?
In a sense, yes.
In what sense?
In the sense that he's the
creator of all. Okay, good, yes. As creator, he is the Father of all. But for you to come and approach his throne, what does it speak to? How is it that we can come and address, we could come and address God as our creator? How is it we come and address him as our Father?
Children of God through faith in Christ.
Right. So, to use our one word that we considered, because how do we become children of God? Through, starts with an A.
Adoption.
Through adoption. We have been adopted into his family. It's the only way. That is the only way you can be part or ever will be part of God's family is if he adopts you. And adoption is the second part, if I can put it that way, or a result of justification. Those things happen together. You're justified by faith in Christ, through the atoning work of Christ. Apart from Christ, you'll never be justified. When you're justified, you're adopted. You're adopted by God. We are now heirs of God, joint heirs with who?
Christ.
Joint heirs with Christ. So when you say our Father, it should immediately, again, or it is a result, it should give thoughts of thanksgiving for the adoption, for the atoning work, for the giving of his Son that makes it possible for us to come and refer to him, call him our Father. And it's interesting, the catechism, and by the way, if you want to consider more on adoption, that's the 12th chapter of the Confession. It deals with adoption, so you can go back and, again, look at that chapter and consider what's happening. Because again, if you pray this prayer, you're bringing that into play and all that that entails. And our answer here teaches us when we pray to draw near to God with confidence of his fatherly goodness. And if you recall back then, I think I likened it, when an adoption takes place humanly, The birth certificate's changed, and no longer is the biological parentage shown. Now the parentage by result of the adoption is shown on that birth certificate. Right? The second thing, and one of the questions that would routinely be asked in an adoption proceeding, asked to the adopting parent, you do understand that you are now obligating yourself. You legally will be responsible for the care of this child. From this day forward, the court grants your request for adoption. You will be legally responsible. You can be made, you can be put in jail if you don't take care of this child. You are willing to give yourself, to give your resources, to give your time, to give your love, to take care of this child. I would suggest to you that when God adopted you into his family, when you came to faith in Christ, when your sins were forgiven because of the shed blood of Christ, when God took you into his family, he obligated himself to you as your heavenly Father. All of God's resources, all of God's love, available. So when we pray, our Father, our Heavenly Father, our Father which is in heaven, we are taking into consideration that God has made himself obligated to hear us, to care for us. It's, I would hope, extremely humbling to even think about. If the Bible didn't tell us it was so, you wouldn't even dare think those thoughts. That your Creator, that God who is sovereign over all, has obligated himself as a loving Father to care for us, to draw near to God with confidence of his fatherly goodness and our interest therein. And we often speak of no one being able to take us out of the Father's hand. Right? No one being able to sever that relationship, to bring it to an end. And again, because of what Christ has done and that great covenant between the Father and the Son, those who have been brought, those for whom Christ died, God cannot and will not ever cast off. Part of the preface, our Father. With reverence, and all other childlike dispositions. Now, the reverence part, if you look down in the footnote there, the number 3, you get the reverence part. There's not a verse there as such that talks about childlike dispositions. But I want you just to tell me what you think of. We come with childlike dispositions. What are childlike dispositions? Because it's very true. So just think, if you have children, how you expect, how you react to them when they come and how they come. Sometimes, sometimes they may come in a bit of a flawed way. But generally, how do children act?
Dependence upon.
Okay. With a faith in, the dependence upon. If I come and ask, they're going to listen to me and do it for me if it's proper. Okay? What else?
Love.
Good. Good. And that's implied, too, in some of the earlier stuff. But certainly, there's an understanding, isn't there, that my parents love me. And so they will tolerate me, or they will gladly hear me, okay, when I come. Seth?
Is that recognition that they have the power and authority to do it for you?
Okay. Good. Good. With a certainly an expectation that, yeah, I mean, I can't do this myself, but my parents can. And if they can't, they'll know somebody that can, or they'll know how to. So, yes. Good. What else? You think?
Respect.
Fifth commandment, honor. Honor your father and your mother. And one of the ways you honor parents is by coming to them and acknowledging them in a proper way, especially as you're growing up. Yes, I want your counsel. I want your help. I want your wisdom. I want your guidance. Certainly. Good. Anything else?
Security,
sure. Depending on the nature of what's being requested, you know, protect me. You know, help me. These people are threatening me, or, you know, I'm scared. Thunderstorm. They're young. That's a thunder clap and bam. What do? Come running. Mom or dad for protection. They don't have to say a word. They do their praying with their face when they grab hold of you. You understand what they're saying, what they're doing. Good. Obedience. A willingness to follow the answer, the instruction given by the parent. An acceptance that, okay, my parents are going to do what's best for me. May not be what I ask. In fact, it may be to deny me what I ask. But it's with an understanding that my parents love me. Talked about that. And they'll do what's best for me. So again, as we come as children to our Heavenly Father, all these things, childlike dispositions, all these things, hopefully, are the way our heart, coupled with our mind as we're thinking, how we come. Heavenly affections. I was thinking about that one, and you can see the proof text there, Psalm 123:1, unto thee I lift up mine eyes, O thou that dwellest in the heavens. I was thinking about the verses in our memory passage. Heavenly affections, seeking first the kingdom of God, what we're doing all the time, how does this advance the kingdom? How does this advance the kingdom? Heavenly, we're thinking, we're being impacted. We're being impacted by our thoughts of God. And if we've already thought, just getting our prayer started about our Father, you're already headed the right direction, right? You're already being impacted if your thoughts and your heart are being drawn heavenward because of what God has done for you in redeeming your soul through Christ. You're in the right direction. You're going in the right direction. Your mind and your heart, at least, are moving heavenward. You can't help but for that to happen if that's what's going through your head and your heart. Due apprehensions of His sovereign power, majesty, and gracious condescension. And you can look at the proof text there, number 5, Nehemiah 1, 4 through 6. And again, it embodies a lot of what we've been talking about. Now, Nehemiah, you know, this is Nehemiah's response to hearing that Jerusalem's in tatters. You know, the walls are broken down. It's a mess. People are suffering. And Nehemiah's response came to pass when I heard these words that I sat down and wept and mourned certain days and fasted and prayed before the God of heaven. And said, I beseech thee, O Lord God of heaven, the great and terrible God. There's that awesome, that proper reverence. That keepeth covenant and mercy for them that love him and observe his commandments. If you love me, you'll keep my commandments. Right? Got that part? Let thine ear now be attentive and thine eyes open that thou mayest hear the prayer of thy servant, which I pray before thee now day and night, for the children of Israel, thy servants, and confess the sins of the children of Israel, which we have sinned against thee. And that's being mindful and praying for others as we begin with our Father. The hour is everyone you're connected with. That would be Jew and Gentile alike, as we will see in some of the petitions. Now, you're connected. You're connected to every one of them who are in Christ and who will be in Christ. So as you pray, you ever seen a situation where you had two children and they're there before their parents, and one child's talking about, you know, my brother, my sister, not been really kind to me, not done right by me. Okay? And the other child that you're talking about is there before the parent. You know, it's a lot easier to talk about what your brother or your sister has done to you if they're not standing there. You tell your parent anything you want. I would suggest to you that when you start this prayer, Our Father, all your brothers and sisters are right there because God knows. God knows. I was struck by, again, I was reading when, and maybe I've mentioned this before, but when Aaron and Miriam murmured against Moses. And no sooner do we see that murmuring here, see what they're saying, and what's the next thing that Scripture records? And God heard it. God heard their words as they were spoken. And God was not pleased. And God responded by saying, you're going to meet with me and we're going to talk about this. Moses, I want you and Aaron and Miriam to come and meet with me. Okay? I would suggest that when you pray, Our Father, you're asking God, as it were, if your praying is concerning what one of his children, what one of your brothers or sisters has done, you're inviting everybody to be part of what you got, to listen to what you have to say. Now, obviously, they aren't physically. They aren't otherwise. They can't hear what you're saying. But effectively, when you're talking to God, God knows exactly what the situation is, and he knows what your heart is in reference to this situation, doesn't he? So now it's as if you're saying, all right, Lord, hear my prayer, and if it's as to another brother or sister, and Lord, judge between me and them. But it's all part. And the other side of that is, Father, I want what's good for the family. I want what's beneficial for my brother and my sister. Lord, I want to be able to forgive them if that's what I need to do. I want to be able to encourage them. I want to be able to instruct them. I want to be able to help them. It's all part of that, Our Father. The one other thing that I'll mention, and we'll get into it more with the first petition, Hallowed be thy name. But just as we come to our Father, and in childlike faith, childlike disposition, that we are careful, that we don't make light. We're coming to our Father. Have you ever wondered whether the children of the President of the United States, how they deal with their parents changes when they're elected as president? If it makes a difference? You know, I don't know that it would. They're still their father. But they may be reminded by their father. Now, what you do and what you say and how you act is going to reflect on me as President of the United States. Therefore, please behave yourself. Careful. We stop and think about that with our Father. You know, sometimes you hear people and you wonder where they're praying. You don't want to lose that childlike aspect of it, because that's so precious and so important. But at the same time, you don't want to ever forget that this is God that you're addressing, the creator of everything, the sovereign over all. So, even whether we're praying the Lord's Prayer or we're using it as a pattern, when we use the terminology, let's be thinking, okay, when I said that, why? Why did I say that? Not that you're going to stop and think about that every time you pray, but along the way, let it spur thought. Let it encourage our thoughts to reflect. I just came and addressed the God of overall as my Heavenly Father. Wow. How? What love? What act of mercy? You know, again, we're looking at this as part of our chapter on religious worship. So how does our praying impact our worship otherwise? When you stop and think about what we've been talking about, it's not hard for your heart to break out in song. Okay? It's not hard. Maybe a little difficult at times. But it's certainly on our heart to love one another, to be mindful of one another, to try to be helpful to one another. Because that's part of what our Father asks us to do, tells us to do in His Word. So if we're coming to our Father, but we've not been doing what we should have been doing, and our Father knows, how does that affect? Because we have an all-knowing Father. So how's that going to affect our praying? What does Scripture tell us? If I regard iniquity in my heart, my Father, God, will not what? He's not going to hear me. So you come to this all-knowing God to pray, mindful. Parents have an extra set of eyes, extra sensory perception or something. Okay? They seem to know sometimes, don't they? But even when parents don't know, God does. So let's be careful and let's use it. Let's be mindful. You know, again, Christ gave this as a help, as a means to help the disciples. So let's make sure that we're using it for the help that it's intended to be. And consider what's in it as we go through it. All right, well, we'll look at our first petition next time. Page 561, Larger Catechism, question 190. What do we pray for in the first petition? In the first petition, which is, hallowed be thy name, and so forth. Hallowed be thy name. What does that remind you of? In the commandments. Which commandment?
Third
commandment is, thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. Hallowed be thy name. Right? And I would suggest if you want to go back and look at the third commandment, because again, that's what's embodied here. So we'll talk more about that next week. All right. Any questions, comments? Okay. Let's have a word of prayer. Father, we do marvel that we have entrance into thy presence. And we come to thee as our loving Heavenly Father, We're thankful that as our loving Heavenly Father, you gave us a day from the beginning of creation. You gave us a day that would become the day, a day of rest, but a day of worship. So we do come and ask that you would help us by your Spirit to worship thee aright this day. Lord, help us to understand. Help us to learn what it is to worship thee, what it is we should be doing, how we prepare our hearts, our minds, Lord, what we think upon. We're thankful that you've blessed us by putting us in a country where we can come and worship. Lord, that's of thy mercy to those of us who live in this country. Lord, while many will make no use, maybe even abuse the day, Lord, we pray that you would make it a good day for us, for your people. May we draw nigh to you, and may we know you drawing nigh to us throughout this day. So be with us as we would go from here, time of fellowship, and then as we come back into the sanctuary, Lord, prepare our hearts and help us by your Spirit, for we ask it in Christ's name. Amen.